Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, coming to you live from Lake Placid, New York. And we're having technical difficulties right off the rip. So let's get this one moving. So, Ed, you know how we do it.
Yes, sir.
One
All right.
more. Everybody
All
knows
right, here
the
we
rules.
go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1970 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality and timeless style you create, perfect for lounging at home or making a stay out and about. And don't wait. Our collection is flying off the shelves fast, and you can say, "Don't be cheap, buy a shirt." Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab us your favorite shirts before they're gone. Check us out at the 1973 podcast store on YouTube. Just click the link below. All right, usual suspects. Look at that. And there's five of us. Gee, just like the movie. How about that?
So let's start with Thomas. You picked the movie, so we're gonna start with you. So what do you got? Give us your review of the movie you picked, Usual
All
Suspects.
righty. I picked The Usual Suspects, 1995. It came out, directed by Bryan Singer. It's got a pretty good cast starring Kevin Spacey, Gabriel Byrne, Kevin Pollak, Benicio del Toro playing a weird ass character where you could barely understand anything he said. Chaz Palminteri, Stephen Baldwin, and I thought the guy who stole a lot of the scenes he was in was Pete Postlethwaite, who was playing Kobayashi in it. It's basically the synopsis: five career criminals brought into a multi-million-dollar heist by an enigmatic Kaiser Soze. Now, all five of the criminals have wronged Kaiser Soze at some point and are forced into pulling a heist for him, and then it goes from there. And I just thought the script was awesome. I think the script and twists and turns that they had in the movie were so awesome. Me, I'm not giving it. I'm not going quite as high as Shawshank, but I'm giving it a 9.1. And I will tell you that I talked to Darren. Darren gave it an 8.
Okay, Darren gave it an 8. That's a Darren's score is an 8. Most of the time he's a consistent 8. And before we move on from your part of the review, Tom, do you want to give us Shaggy's score?
Yes, Shaggy gave it a 7.9.
Who is not in attendance? Gotta be duly noted, not in attendance. I'll go next. I mean, what's not to say about this movie? It's we're kind of in a pocket right now with those post Pulp Fiction movies with those crime noirs. This movie, like Boondock Saints, was one of those movies. If you frequented Newbery Comics back in the day, it was one of their culty movies that they always had t-shirts and movie posters, just like Boondock Saints. Great thing about this movie is the ending where Kevin Spacey plays somebody that us Gen Xers would probably use a certain term for, but we won't. We'll say special needs. And he has the cops fooled with the story that he's presenting, that he was reading kind of diatribe and anything that he could come from wanted posters and everything that was on the wall behind, the cop that was given the once over. So I thought that was pretty clever for a story driven. Movie for the time, something different that I had never seen before. I'm going to give this movie an 8.4. I'm not a Bryan Singer fan at all. I think he totally destroyed the X-Men franchise. But 8.4, still iconic, great story, still watchable, must own. Ed, what do you got?
Well, I had never seen this movie until today.
Wow.
So
Damn.
I watched this movie this morning. I really liked it. I thought it was really entertaining. I loved the twists and turns of it. I love the fact, just the point that you brought up, Andy, that he was telling the story by he's reading off the Peoria, Illinois thing on the screen, and that he did the barbershop. The Barbershop Quartet. I thought that was freaking brilliant to how he weaved that in the story and everything like that. And I love the ending because it was him, because all of a sudden he starts walking and he's got the watch with the lighter and the cigarette. I thought that was perfect.
No limp.
No limp. He's walking with a limp, and all of a sudden his stride changes and he hops into a jaguar. I thought that was great. Great movie. It was it at first it was kind of like, part of it was that, I had just come in from a run, so I was my mind was hard to settle it down to, like, and then I just got into it. Really enjoyed it. I'm gonna give it an 8.2.
So before I want to move on to Brad, isn't it great when this situation comes up where somebody gets to actually watch a movie and they don't watch it just because they're clicking through the channels? They're actually watching it with a mind on creating a review for it, especially when it's something that when we get deep in the weeds, there'll be things that only one of us or two of us have seen, and we'll get into it. And I think I say it the last couple of weeks, I think it's really great when we can hit on this segment, but deep dives and when the reviews don't always match, and we can kind of point counterpoint going forward. But so far, it's been really good. Go ahead, Brad.
Oh, one more point before Brad jumps in. I thought it was great when he flicked the cigarette at him. That actually wasn't supposed to be. That was actually something that they weren't supposed to. That wasn't supposed to be in the movie, but they actually kept in the movie. I thought that was great. Sorry, Brad. Go ahead.
You're good, buddy.
Everybody gets one, Brad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably in the minority for this film as. I really don't like Tarantino movies. Pulp Fiction, The Outlier. After that, I feel like he got a pass after Pulp Fiction and people just started watching whatever garbage he made. Tarantino's also a creepy ass dude. And I can't watch stuff with him in it, knowing what he's probably said and done to female actresses and what I can't. He's a weird guy. Yeah, he's weird. Juliette Lewis and From Dusk Till Dawn. Hey, we'll leave it at that. He's weird. Anyway, The Usual Suspects. I'm also in a small pool of people who thinks this movie was just kind of good. I never thought this movie was great. I think this movie got ruined for me as I was beginning to get into films and like really becoming like this amateur movie buff. I had to listen to every dude on the street, man. I'm like, yo, what's your favorite movie? What should I watch? Oh, you gotta watch The Usual Suspects, man. You just gotta wait for the ending. You're gonna love it, man. And it's like over and over. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it, man. And I finally watched it and I was like, what the fuck are you guys jerking this movie off for, dude? Like, it was all right. Anyway, I give it. I'm not a huge fan. Again, it's a one and done for me. Also, Kevin Spacey, groomer, weirdo, creepo. I had to subtract a lot of points for that, because he's a creep. He's a Hollywood creep as well. 7.8 for the film. This is a good movie. I think everybody should watch it one time, even if it's your first one, Ed.
I mean, it's no Rogue One.
No, not even close.
It'll never be known as Rogue One on this podcast. It's always Rogue 10.
Yeah, not even close. The
Yeah,
best Star
okay.
Wars movie ever made. I'll
Rogue
die
10.
on that
Got
hill.
it. So
I'll fight you for that.
we're gonna finish with the Phantom because it is his pick for this week, but before that, we need your review of this movie.
I'm a fan of this movie. I liked it a lot. I think I kind of agree with Brad a bit that the first time that I watched it, I was running in probably like the sevens. But I, much like Ed, I love the end of this movie. I think the end of this movie is like an all-time movie. The time when we watched it back in the day, like we saw it at the theater, so we didn't know anything about it to have anybody like ruin it for us. So that, I mean, that kind of stinks to go into it that way. But I'm gonna give it a 8.5. I'm a big time fan of this movie. It's really good, really, really done well. The dialect between the characters is awesome.
Yeah,
Big
I
fan.
think Ryan, if we had owned it in our collection, it's got to be at least an eight, right? That's kind of like a base score where you actually
Well,
spend money
I
on
gotta, don't forget, I did work at Blockbuster Video, so I got a lot of movies that fuck. Almost Brad, I got a lot of movies that stink. So I can't
There was a time in my life when every Tuesday when the new releases came out, I had money burning a hole in my pocket, and I was just buying stuff that was new, and I never even took it out of the wrapper. But I own a lot of
Bro,
crapola.
I worked at Blockbuster.
Ooh,
That
ask
was
him
my
for
first
me.
job, and like, you got free rentals every week. And my mom and my brothers used to get, and my girlfriend at the time would get so pissed because I always brought home shitty B movies for my free ones. Never brought home new releases or anything good.
They wouldn't let you take the new releases.
No, they wouldn't. So I would go find like just shitty B flick horror movies, or just like shitty B movies from the 80s that never got that big. And that's all we watched, dude.
So there's a story building here. Cowboys fans, Eskimo brothers, watch
Yep.
the video. Come on now. Possibly Fruity, you never know.
Hey.
Wow. I do believe I heard Brad say he doesn't like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
So we gotta kill time while Tom's doing Ed math. Thomas, what do you got for a rating this
I'm
week?
done.
Okay, what do
Oh,
you
that
got?
was quick.
Final score, 8.2.
8.2 on the Richter scale. That's not a bad score. Not a bad score. So, Phantom, what do you got this week for a pick?
I am going with American History X.
I knew you were gonna pick that movie.
Really? Clairvoyant also. That is great. So we got to keep with the theme of this. So I'm lagging a little bit over here.
I think we lost the host.
I don't know why.
There
We're moving
you
around.
go.
Bradford, we're going to talk a little wrestling. Bring us up to speed on things with WWE releases.
A little bit of wrestling. So they're doing a lot of releases. Nothing that's been like groundbreaking, but they're releasing people ahead of their usual like big spring cleaning. Usually I think they wait till after WrestleMania and before they do the Raw SmackDown draft, all that BS to release people, but they're doing it like now, but they're doing it like late at night too, so nobody's finding out till the next day. But they've already released Blair Davenport, Cedric Alexander, AOP, and Paul Ellering. Sonya Deville was informed her contract would not be released. And then Isla Dawn was posted on her socials that she said, here for a good time, not a long time. See you in 90 days, which is alluding to the 90-day non-compete when hopefully we'll see her in another. TNA or AEW, but and she's good enough. I think she could. She's there wasn't room for her on the roster, but yeah, they're cleaning house. So a lot of folks are saying that Kamala, God bless America, can't say his name. Carmelo Hayes is on the chopping block, and because he just hasn't really got any kind of direction or push since he jumped from NXT to Raw, so he may find himself getting, sent away if he doesn't figure something out for his character. So I don't know.
So
Basically it.
I think the Phantom will agree with me on this one. It doesn't matter really who they release. It's AEW's inability to do things with making stars. If you look at the guys that, like I said before, I think Cody Rhodes has a lot to do with the go, no go with Triple H of who should we bring? Will they fit our scheme of things for the growth that's promised, like an Ethan Page? That guy was in obscurity in AEW and they did nothing with him. Penta, they throw a nice coat of paint on him, same guy, but look how he gets over. Gets over with the kids, gets over with the marketing side of things. I heard all kinds of financial things blowing up for WWE. Their merchandise sales went up 95% from last year's Royal Rumble. I mean, 95%. That you
That's
know,
wow.
95%. A 95% just on the merch alone. When they're doing the WrestleMania in Vegas this year, they're going to have a fan experience for the entire week. So the whole week leading into WrestleMania, you're going to be able, if you're there, you're going to be able to go to the stuff that they usually just do that weekend. They picked up 14 new sponsors just off of the success of this year's Royal Rumble. They have two other a WrestleMania and a SummerSlam planned for Indianapolis, and their gross what they're projected to make, $350 million in pocket just from those three shows combined. So their growth is it's off the charts. So anything that Vince was doing is kind of like it's not even valid anymore, because these guys are getting chances that, like, if they had Samoa Joe now, I think he would get a better rub than
Ooh.
he had the last time he was there. But my point being is, these guys that they bring in from AEW, if they get the seal of approval, they can do a lot with these guys. And as you see from their roster in the WWE, they could trim a lot of that fat. They don't need all those people. I mean, not everybody's going to come. Look at Penta skip the NXT roster and went right to the main roster. So, I mean, just wait when they get Rey Fénix, and there's other people in the queue that there's, they're probably waiting for. They're going to bring back Aleister Black. That's Triple H's, one of Triple H's guys, and they can do a lot with him. He's got a unique look, and he's been there before. So, I mean, that's my two cents with that. But a lot of things with the Vince McMahon thing, and we love to talk about the Vince McMahon thing. I sent Brad the podcast, the Jim Cornette podcast. There was a lot of new allegations that came out over the last week or so. My thoughts on Brock Lesnar showing up at the Royal Rumble, kind of, if I knew what I knew beforehand, I would have never said that, because when you got guys like Michael Hayes saying that Vince McMahon turned him into a pervert, that's quite the statement for a guy that's been around. So, any thought on the Vince McMahon stuff?
The thing that's funny is, like, if somebody, like, if one of you guys are crooked and you're doing stuff with your phone and you send out, like, you send me a video of wacky shit that you're doing, how am I like a criminal for, what's the criminal act of this? Like, how are you in trouble by having somebody send you the videos because you got the video and you turned around and didn't say and report it? Or, like, I don't see how you can get in trouble just by having somebody send you something.
Well, I think the where it lies, and this is just my two cents, is say like the say
Because this
sport.
is an adult. It's not like she was sending you videos of a kid.
I know, but say it's like say sport. Say you know that something's wrong, and it's something that your boss sent you or something like that. I wouldn't download. You know how you can tap to download it? Well, I wouldn't even download it, just delete it. It doesn't show whether you watched it or not. If you watched it and it was like, just you're better off getting it off your phone. You can say, listen, I saw it and I got rid of it because I'm not into that. But where you don't report certain things, where these companies are very strict, I don't know. I don't know how that works. Ed, you're the head of the HR department.
I can see Brock Lesnar being in court and being like, did he send you a video? Yeah. Okay. Like, let me check your phone. Like, how much stuff you got on your phone that's inappropriate or whatever. I just find the whole thing kind of odd.
Thomas,
Yeah, it's like,
I don't know if he's sending them videos and then later on they're taking part in what they saw in the videos. So maybe that's the next level
just
part of it.
so Brock didn't do anything criminal though, right? Like,
Well, I don't
I
know.
don't.
She was supposed to fly to meet him one time.
But she
And
didn't.
see, I wasn't sure about that, whether she did or not. I couldn't remember.
Like, morally, he's a scumbag. Andy's right.
Correct,
He should
correct.
have reported it. If he got pictures or videos, even if he looked at him, he should have been like, oh shit, this is not right. Vince is pimping this poor woman around. I'm going to the authorities. And he didn't. So he's a scumbag. Should he get canceled? And no. Should he go to jail? No. He's just an asshole, and he should be
I don't think
somebody. He
he's.
needs to go to like therapy and counseling
I
and
don't think.
whatever.
I
But
think Vince is the only one being charged. Vince and
yeah,
Laurinaitis. I don't think Lesnar and Michael Hayes are being charged with
I don't
anything.
think Lesnar should lose his whole career over it. Like, he just like he's a he's being a jerk. He's morally corrupt, you know. But like, lose your
Even
whole, nah.
Even the stuff with Vince, I don't think it's even, I don't think he's even going to court criminally. I think this is like a civil thing. So
Yeah,
just get
a
the money
civil
that he
thing.
said that he was going to give her. It's kind of weird. I kind of want to see where it goes in the long run, but it's
I'm
little
just
it's sketchy
curious,
for sure.
as a longtime Vince hater, I just want to see the stories come out, for entertainment purposes only for the podcast, and see what, how long we've talked about how long the stories have gone on behind the scenes with different allegations and things like that, and they've never really held them accountable for it. So when is that ever going to stop? You would think if somebody got away with it once, that they would kind of curb it, but it seems like it's weird with the Brock Lesnar thing because Stable had sued them for sexual harassment and she won and she came back and did that whole
Came
thing
back.
after the fact with Tori Wilson.
Yep.
So you won a case for a certain thing and then you go back and do the I can't explain it.
That's when going back pays more money than the settlement.
Maybe it was
Yep.
part of the settlement. Maybe she didn't, part of the settlement was not losing her job. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, maybe all the stuff will come out. I mean, or the original one that I had heard a long time ago that there was just a alleged buzz about it was Christy Hemme was the original one that back in the mid-2000s that he had paid off. And then she went to TNA and she was getting paid from Vince on the hush hush and getting, working in TNA at the time when it was good. So yeah, I mean it's as a wrestling fan, it's just more stuff to talk about. Go ahead, Tom.
Did you see the stuff with the other case, the Ring Boy case? They're the Maryland, I guess McMahon's lawyers, the McMahon's, because Linda's actually involved in this one too. I guess the McMahon's lawyer was went to the Supreme Court in Maryland to try to get it thrown out on the statute of limitations law. Well, the Maryland Supreme Court ruled that it's part of the Child Victims Act, which eliminates the statute of limitations, so they're allowing the case to continue. So it's the case is going on.
So
Damn.
that it should because a lot of these, it's funny to say, but these guys that were allegedly part of that as kids are now our age.
I was gonna say they're probably in their 50s.
They're the same age as us. So I mean,
Same
it,
age as y'all, not me.
well, you can't tell me you wouldn't want to have been a part of that, Bradford. You could have seen some things. So, Brad, wrestling news, or are we moving on to shitty picks? I got. Oh, sorry.
Tom
Go
has
ahead.
something.
Oh no, I was going. I don't know if you saw, but another negative wrestling story with AEW fired Tony Khan fired one of the guys from the Iron Savages who was in AEW Ring of Honor. The guy Bear Boulder, I guess he got arrested January 16th for strangulation. He strangled his girlfriend. I guess he
I mean,
choked
it's
her out
not funny.
with his. I guess he threw her down on the ground and he stood on her throat with his foot and choked her out. And he ended up getting arrested. And I guess when Tony Khan, they had suspended him, but I guess Tony Khan got the rest of the police report. And when once he saw it, he fired him right on the spot.
Holy crap.
Bradford, I want to ask you who's challenging who at WrestleMania? Prediction?
Jey Uso is going to challenge Gunther. And I
I think he's gonna
despite
be.
what John Cena said at his press conference, there's no way he's winning Elimination Chamber. I think he's blowing smoke up everybody's ass. It's a work because he wants people to tune in because they want it to be the biggest Elimination Chamber ever. But it's gonna be Roman Reigns, CM Punk, one of those two, or Randy Orton. It's gonna be somebody in Cody's circle to challenge him. He's gonna beat them, but he's gonna lose everything in the process. And the biggest outcome of the next WrestleMania is that we're gonna finally get Homelander Cody. Then he's gonna go on a heel run for a whole year, and everybody's gonna love it, and it's gonna be awesome. Cena's gonna maybe wrestle Joe Hendry at WrestleMania to win the TNA championship.
I don't know.
There's one, if they're going to have Cena win the belt before he retires, the rumor going around is that they're going to add a PLE in Boston next December. So I'd say if he's going to win it, he's going to win it in his hometown. He's got that's I have to say that's when he's going to win it,
They
if he's going to win.
said it's going to be called Ruthless Aggression too.
Well, I didn't see that. That'd be
Yeah. Where
cool.
you been? Where you been?
I don't know.
Stop watching them blockbuster videos
Yeah.
and get.
He's outside. He's outside cutting the grass in the 70 degrees.
Yeah,
Yeah, I was
throwing up.
enjoying nature.
The only guy in the neighborhood throwing up yeet signs. They think he's got special needs.
Special yeets.
Something's got to give somewhere with the Cena thing. I mean, they're not gonna do him dirty on the way out. All that. If you listen to Shane Gillis, he's a big Cena guy for a lot of reasons. So they're not gonna do him dirty on the way out.
Well, fans are pissed because Cena promised full time for 1 year. And he showed up and cut a promo, showed up to the Rumble. That was it. He hasn't showed up anymore.
Card subject to change, sir. Card subject to change. That's what
Yeah.
it says. So, Thomas, you want to take us into Tom's Shitty Picks, and then we can do some predictions for the Super Bowl, and you guys will probably have to take more of that than
All
me.
right. All righty. Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. So I already gave my pick for last week for the Super Bowl, but this week I'm going to give kind of an X factor for both teams. I'm going to go with the X factor for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going with Dallas Goedert. KC's defense against the tight ends this year. They've been a little bit suspect. They've given up 8 touchdowns on the year, and they're averaging giving up almost 80 yards a game. I think Goddard's going to have a big game because I think they're going to key on stopping Saquon Barkley. For the KC Chiefs, I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy. I think they're going to concentrate on stopping Kelsey. I think Andy Reid's a master schemer, and he's had an extra week. I think he's going to figure out how to use Xavier Worthy's speed. I think they're going to have him motioning out of the backfield. So I think he's going to have a big game for KC.
Well, let me chime in before I let you three guys have at it. I'm just going to tell you that I love my conspiracy theory, and I love to tell you how much sports is fixed. So I think this is a game for the bookies. I think the Eagles are going to win, and I also saw a thing with like, does Miller Lite have something to do with the Super Bowl where they have like it looks like two like a poster with like two houses next to the stadium or something like that. Somebody had pointed out that if you look at I don't know if it's the Super Bowl poster for this year, there's like the stadium and then there's two houses. One is the Kansas City Chiefs house, the other is the Philadelphia Eagles house. They almost kind of look like two houses side by side. They were saying that if you look at the gas lights outside, they're in a W for the Eagles. So the W for the win, right? So there's my conspiracy theory on the two. So take it away, Ed. You've been silent.
I've been very silent. No, I think that the Chiefs will win. I want Philly to win, but I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think it's going to go down to the wire, and I think it's going to be pretty much the same type of thing where there's going to be a late flag that basically changes the course of the game, and just like it did in the Rams Super Bowl against Cincinnati. That pretty much sealed it. I think that there was one in the San Francisco game that sealed it, and so I mean, hopefully they'll actually let the teams, win it out in the field, and the referees, stay quiet. But the last time the Super Bowl I think was in New Orleans, the lights got shut off, and I think that there was some sort of a deal with the governor of Louisiana and San Francisco from 20, 30 years ago. And I think something happened. I don't know. I don't know. Brad, I think you may want to check that out on tinfoil hats maybe or something. I don't know. remember something, hearing something about that years ago.
What do you got, Ryan?
I gotta go KC. Three straight. Can't root for Philly either way, but I think that KC's just they just find a way to win. If you're going into like it's all legit, they always just find a way to win. So I'm going with them. I'm not betting against the streak to end. As far as like all the conspiracy stuff and all that is, if that was the case and they know everybody's watching them, I think it'll probably be a pretty clean game. So we'll go from there. But not really super excited for this one for some reason. It's like just two teams I don't like. So I mean, obviously I'll be invested tomorrow to watch it, but not losing any sleep over with excitement here.
You're invested, though. You're invested.
Yeah.
I caught the word. I caught the word.
There's a difference between
not yet, but I will be.
Okay. I just wanted to. I mean, I will say just to circle back. I mean, I will say this is that I did see the Chiefs play last year live in New Orleans, and Mahomes is he's a bad dude, man. He looks like he's in a whole different gear out in the field compared to everybody else. And on TV, it doesn't even do it justice compared to seeing it live. So,
Oh,
I mean,
I think a thing that benefits KC as well is that, like their defense is playing really good. So it's not like kind of how it was like last year where it was like defense might have been like a little bit suspect. Their defense is solid. So for Philly to put up points on them, I'm thinking under for the over and under for tomorrow. But I haven't committed yet.
I mean, but I think the Phillies got a really good offensive line, and I think that they can push Kansas City around. If they try to go in a shootout, Kansas City's going to win every time. But I think if they were talking about this on the Herd this week, and basically, they were saying if you can instead of letting the Chiefs have 11 possessions during the game, you only let them have eight, and that could change the game. So, I mean. If they three-peat it, I mean, quite frankly, I mean it's pretty cool to see it in our lifetime, but I just it just seems a little suspect if they do, just saying.
So, as far as our Rod Serling of the podcast, Bradford, do you have any conspiracy theories on what you think the outcome's going to be on this BS?
I think if the Vegas bookies get their way, Philly will win. You guys have all kind of said that. I think if the NFL gets their way, Kansas City's going to win it. And it really comes down to which team sells the most merchandise. I saw a TikTok on this the other day when they were talking about the Philly Washington Conference Championship. And the guy went down and like deep in the weeds of which team sells the most tickets, the most merch. Who sells the most concessions? Who makes the most money outside of just like TV viewership? And it was Philly. By money standards, the Washington Commanders are like dirt poor compared to the rest of the NFL, right? The Eagles were raking it in. So of course they want to push the team that's raking it in. So which one of those is making the most money? And I've also heard, my conspiracies theory channels, i.e. TikTok, that the NFL has already filed a trademark or asked, no, Pat Riley has a trademark for the three-peat,
Repeat.
and the NFL has gone to him to see if they can like work out a deal so they can use the phrase three-peat. So hey, it's pretty telling who's gonna win. Also, Taylor Swift is a witch, so we'll see.
You'll know it's fixed when Donald Trump stands up while like Digstown and fixes his tie, and then you're gonna see like Phil
Yeah.
Dawson fall down when he's trying to kick or
Yeah.
some.
He's going to stand up and fix his tie, and the ref's going to be like, pass
Yeah.
interference.
Yes, roughing the passer.
Yeah.
I did
15 yard
see.
penalty.
He was pretty
Yeah.
entertaining with the Florida Panthers, I will say. He was pretty good with them at the White House.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. It'll be fun.
So, are we ready to shift gears and go to another dimension? Are we ready? Brad's getting wound up already. Thomas,
Yeah.
let's put
All
on that.
righty.
Let's put on that aluminum foil and get places.
Brad's tinfoil hat conspiracy of the week is brought to you by the book Loving Elliot, A fitting tribute to Undying Love, written by our very own Andy Clark. It's available on Amazon.com. Elliot was the oldest special needs Jack Russell Terrier when he passed away at the age of 21.
Bradford, great book.
Yeah.
Don't
Only read this book if you want to sit around and cry for 30 minutes. Just want to say
Andy,
that, first of
are you
all.
selling some of those on the side down there or what?
Yeah, I wish. I wish. I
You
wish
go
I had
down there and
one.
tell them in the lobby.
I wish I had one book sale for everybody that's here, right? We could float this podcast to another dimension.
Yeah. It's a good book. Like, if you're watching this, you don't already have this, go get it on Amazon. If you're a dog lover, this is a must read. I'm not saying that because I'm Andy's friend. This is a really good book. I enjoyed it. It made me go hug my dog. That's a good book.
See you,
So
Bradford.
anyway, what's that?
I bought the first edition when he was on Funnel 107.
Yeah, I
I
love
did.
that book.
And
So I want to
now.
talk a little bit of JFK. We're supposed to get a big like file release from Trump. I don't think it's happened yet. If it did, I haven't seen much of it. So just in like the theme of things, let's talk a little bit of JFK. Not the usual JFK conspiracy nut theories and whatnot. I want to talk about some different things. So there is a floating tree video. Have you guys heard of this? Allegedly, there's a woman. She's like talking you through the video. And in this video, you can see in one frame a whole tree in the background. In another frame, it's like cut in half, and like half from the middle up is the tree, and the middle down is gone. And the only way you can like, explain it is that it was original footage that was badly spliced and edited and somehow cut out that part of the tree when they like overlaid pieces or something. And so that has kind of got the conspiracy wheel spinning because people are like, what's going on with this video? Do we even have the original video at this point?
Hey,
And
Brad, can
it,
I pause you for a second?
yep.
Is it part of that Zapruder film, the famous Zapruder film? Is that spliced? Is that the one you're talking about?
You know what? I don't know, but I'll have to go look that one up,
Okay.
man. But maybe that was the film she was referring to. I don't know. I saw it on TikTok.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's a great point, man. Then there's another video circulating TikTok, and it clearly shows the driver turned back and like he's either pointing like, "Hey, JFK, get down," or he's. But the shitty thing, and this is what's so scary about AI, man, is I can't tell if that's an AI edited video or if that's a real video. And I'm pretty good at picking them out. But that one is really tough to tell. Then there's leaked audio where it's people talking and they're basically saying LBJ ordered the hit. I've never heard that before. So that was new to me. And I think that might have come out since Trump got into office, and it just kind of confirmed what other people had already suspected, that LBJ ordered this hit. And the reason why he ordered it is because there's another file leak of a CIA operation where they wanted to stage an attack on American soil. Americans were gonna have to die to make it believable, but they were gonna frame it to be where it was Cuban nationals doing the attack, and that would give us cause then to go and invade Cuba and everything like that, which JFK said no, and then they just did it on 9/11. But so that happened. And that's people are saying like that's why they got him was because he told the CIA no to that plan. But then there's also footage, and you can go look this up anywhere. This is on the internet, this is on YouTube. When they were swearing LBJ in on the plane, Jackie, like she refused to change out of her blood. She still like had JFK's blood on her clothes, and she refused to take it off because she wanted them to see like what they had done. That's what she told people. I want them to see what they have done. And at the time, people were like, "What's she talking about?" Then in that video, when he's swearing in, he looks to the side, and his accomplice is like a few people back, and they like wink at each other and like do the good old boy, like, and they're like smiling, like to confirm what they had done. So super weird stuff, man. Hopefully Trump, the one, if he does anything in office, keep this promise, release the JFK stuff. The people want to know. We deserve to know. And then I sent a video out earlier that was basically saying, like, JFK obviously assassinated, and then RFK was assassinated to cover up the JFK assassination. So weird stuff, man.
Well, didn't RFK say that when he got in, he was gonna try to do a deep dive into kind of avenge the brother? And it kind of makes you wonder how, you know, these things are not. Like I said before, I think before the Kennedy assassination, I think everybody was pretty much buy war bonds. Let's sign up for World War II. Let's leave our professional athlete career and go, you know, fight. And everybody was on the same page, you know, until that moment. And then from that moment, to me, it's a timeline of American history where people went, hey, listen, there's just something not right about this. It just not jive. And I think from there, you got a lot of the counterculture movement. After that, you got the not just the hippie movement, but you got the women's lib movement. You got the right to vote movement. You got the black movement. You got a lot of that counterculture came out of that assassination, and I don't think they were ready for all that. And all good in a way, but I think it kind of came back to kind of bite them kind of in the butt. I'll use that term. I want to say the other one, but everybody gets one. Yeah, so the thing with that is now with all the technology that's out and the access to a lot of these things, now that these people have passed on, they can't be held accountable for any of this stuff. So if it's available to come out, now would be the time. So I just think that there's a lot of things that are hidden from us, like we talk about on the segment all the time, that it's that search for knowledge, like the X-Files. It's interesting. It fills your head with thought. It's thought provoking. It's conversation provoking. I think that the whole thing is just a search for knowledge. Abby, what do you think? You know, you're a big JFK
Yeah,
conspiracy.
no, I'm definitely intrigued by the whole thing. I'm just curious that when they finally do release like the files, are they going to be like big parts of it that are like blacked out or like certain things like, oh, you can't see this part, or if you know if they're picky choosy about what parts of it that they release just to set a narrative. There's a part of me that would think that you would want to put it out, you know, with zero discretion and say, this is what happened. It was a long time ago, just so everybody knows. But I kind of feel that they don't want to incite any kind of
Movement.
doubt. I don't know. I think they want to try to release it and just make it look squeaky clean. The next thing you know, it's like just Oswald. I
Ed, you want to chime in?
do. I do. I mean, since four of us grew up in the area where that particular family has a very strong residence, you know, that hits a little bit kind of close to home. I mean, first and foremost, JFK chose LBJ as his running mate because he wanted to win Texas. He wanted to win the South. And the thing about it is that, so, you know, there's always rumors about who did it and everything like that. I mean, you know, we always get upset about elections being fixed and everything like that. Well, you know, let's just say the certain particular party that you know that he belonged to, they fixed the elections in Chicago to assist him. And you know, his dad was recalled by FDR during World War II because of his beliefs and that he mentioned when he was in England about how he supported the Nazis and that he was an anti-Semite. So I think that there are a lot of things that are, you know, and I said, you know, and you know, living in Florida twice in my lifetime, you know, when you head south on 75 and you get out of the Metro Tampa area, there's a lot of wide open space. And you know, there's a lot of they did train a lot of people for the Bay of Pigs invasion down there. You know, a lot of space to do that in down there. Just like, you know, so I think that you know, I think that the tentacles are from a very multifaceted way. And you know, Sir William Bradley sent me something there a little bit earlier this evening, which kind of tied in with one of my comments about his dad when he was in England on who could be also part of it. And then the other thing too is just that, you know, if they release it with nothing redacted on these things, there's still people that are alive and there's still people in power and stuff like that. It could kind of create some friction and some problems. You know, at the end of the day, the president was unalived. You know, he basically didn't want the industrial military complex to be as strong. He wanted, and he was really embarrassed by the Central Intelligence Agency, by the Bay of Pigs, and he put the clamp down on them, and he didn't want to go into Southeast Asia. And as soon as he was unalived, Johnson signed the bill, and all of a sudden, we went to Southeast Asia in a big way. So there are a lot of things that are all involved. And then his speech also that he had in Germany, you know, I believe that that was the speech where he was talking about, you know, secret societies and everything like that. It all kind of ties in with a lot of different things. So, you know, you're never quite sure who actually did it.
Thomas, I'm going to kick it to you.
I've always said something was definitely funny with this one. I mean, it's obvious something smelled funny. So I'm kind of hoping he does release these things, but Kennedy still have some power, so you never know if it'll actually get released or not.
I'd see the thing too, where it was saying that like the mafia helped them do stuff in certain areas of with the election, with getting votes and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what
And
talking about Kyle, right?
that's and that could actually be like a mafia hit for debt not returned.
Well, that's because Bobby went after him
There's a
when he became Attorney General. You know?
there's quite a bit of certain things about that whole scenario. There's that Rat Pack movie that came out. It was on HBO. Don Cheadle played Sammy Davis Jr. It really good, and they kind of touch on the Kennedy thing with the mob, and you know, it, with the Sinatra connection and all that stuff. And there's a lot of, it's not just on the surface. There's just a lot of things, and I just always thought that if the country would allow that to happen to somebody for an inside job, I mean, what kind of people, what would they think of us? You know, the little guy. If they'll do that to somebody that has some kind of clout, how do they look at people like us? You know, just the regular everyday person that's grinding, you know, all their life. You know, the system's just not set up for success for a lot of people. That I always go back to that 1% thing. And you know, until I see change like that, that more wealth is created for the middle class, and more people are able to get ahead through hard work and perseverance and putting in their time and retire with money and all that other stuff. Look at the pensions. Like, my grandfather worked for the Goodyear his whole life after World War II. His whole life. He came back disabled. He was like a team leader. He worked all those shifts. First, they worked 2 weeks on first, 2 weeks on second, 2 weeks on third. When he retired, my grandmother, till the day she passed away, she never had to work another day. She never even really worked. She was a stay-at-home mom, and then she had a little side job after he passed away, and it was just to stay busy, and she lived off his pension. Nobody can do that anymore. And
No.
until we go back to the way things were, where a mother or a father could stay home and there could be one breadwinner and you could have that family unit again, even the family dynamics changed. You know, you gotta just afford to do things like this. You gotta rub nickels together for all this stuff, just to be
Thank you,
able
your sign, by the way.
to be able to create some kind of family dynamic. So I mean,
that's by design. The
oh.
design is that, but think about this, right? If you have somebody that stays at home, you're only taxing one person, right? If you force both people to work, now you can tax both people. So you destroy the family, you destroy the nuclear family, right? And then you allow the schools to dictate basically parenting. Not and so and then so you got it right there. So, I mean, there's a lot to be said about being able to work hard and keep your own money, instead of giving 40% of it away. Just saying.
Well, it's divide and conquer, right, Ed? Right off the rip.
That's right.
I mean, right from the way that the system is set up, Democratic and Republican, you're splitting the country right down the middle with it. Nobody can be on the same page, even with a thought. You're creating friction between friends and family from within, just on viewpoints. And a lot of it.
But here's the thing, though, is that, see, if you really think about it, is that if you really want to solve the problem, you have to attack the problem by not being emotional and using and having emotional decisions. We can go into the great political debate right now about what's going on right now. But the thing about it is that what is going on right now is it's actually being done as a business decision to save money. It's not being done to be mean. It's actually like trying to drain the swamp. But you have a bunch of people that think that he is trying to be like 1936 Germany, and it's not. He's actually trying to actually save a ton of money on all these wasted programs. When you think about this, there was a program, $4 million to see how fast a shrimp can run on a treadmill. $4 million. How many cops can that pay? How many teachers can that pay? Right? How many firefighters can that pay? Right? I mean, if you think about it. So, like, and the thing about it is that Kennedy wanted to try to keep a lot of money and not get involved with things in other places. And that's the thing about it is that the military industrial complex, for whatever that is, they don't like that.
Brad,
They want somebody that was going to toe the line.
you want to close out your segment?
Yeah, just one more thing. Even Jack Ruby, his full name is Jack Rubenstein. So there's a clear connection to some folks of a certain religious denomination. So a lot of folks were saying, one of y'all said the mob that is a Jewish mafia thing. And so Jack Rubenstein killed Lee Harvey to silence him because Lee Harvey was going to blow the whistle and, kind of tell everybody what happened. So, anyway, pretty wacky stuff, man. And to Ed's point, if the government wants to get out of our $70 trillion worth of debt, hey, what better way than to place a sizable bet on the Super Bowl this weekend, right? Hey,
Indeed. For entertainment purposes only.
we could get out of debt and make some money if the Treasury would just do something about it this weekend. Let's do it.
You don't find it funny that when the NFL came together as a corporation, when they merged the AFL and the old NFL, and it became just the new version of the NFL, I believe around Super Bowl three, just saying that it's not listed as a sport, it's listed as entertainment. So
Yes.
I'm just gonna leave that one right there, right around Super Bowl three. You know, Super Bowl three with Joe Namath, I guarantee a win and all that stuff. So let's do some shout outs and wrap up this week's episode from the lovely, snowy, never stop snowing Lake Placid. So Thomas, what do you got this week?
I'm gonna wish my niece happy birthday. She's making me feel old. She turned 32 today. So happy birthday, Taylor.
Ed, what do you got?
Well, I just hope that it's a great Super Bowl. I hope that the referees stay out of it, and I hope it's entertaining. And I hope that we see a different outcome.
Bradford.
I don't know. Shout out, did y'all see LA Knight's promo about men's mental health? Pretty solid. Is also a throwback to when Macho Man did it on Arsenio Hall. If you watch
That's true.
both, there he basically pulled from that. Really good promo. Go watch it.
Yeah, do you
Oh,
think
Dallas Page
Brad,
is actually in Panama City Beach tonight.
I wanted to ask you during the wrestling segment about that, and I'm glad you brought it up at the end. Do you think that has anything to do with Drew McIntyre blaming him for screwing up that spot in the Rumble?
Oh yeah, he called him Drew McIncryer.
100%. He says,
Oh,
it's okay. It's
100%.
okay to cry, except if you're Drew
Yeah,
McIntyre.
100%.
Well, I just didn't know how much was, a shoot, a work, or a
At the
combination.
very end, I
Yeah.
believe he said, "Let me get one more thing in," and that's when he did his catchphrase, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did.
That was good.
What do you got there, Phantom?
Well, see that we're going into Super Bowl weekend, and we're Chiefs might win three in a row, and they're already throwing Mahomes in the GOAT conversation. I want to shout out the real GOAT. I sent out a picture to all the boys of Bill Belichick and his side piece. I'm like, who's the GOAT? My man Bill's the GOAT. Got to be the greatest of all time. Brad even sent me back a thing saying he's got all his rings on. I didn't even notice the rings. I only noticed the girlfriend. I zoomed in. I'm like, this guy's got all the rings on. Bang. My man Bill.
You don't want to let Bill Belichick around a girls' hockey tournament.
All I know is that I think he's gonna be kicking her to the curb when he hits UNC.
Oh
He's gonna
yeah.
be hitting that shit like Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, she's gone.
Cool. Yep. So I'll wrap this up by saying last week, Brad brought up a great point about certain algorithms with Facebook and YouTube. Shout out to Brad. Kind of pulled a really good stat. I don't want to say what it is because he said we could get shadow banned, but it worked. So we're going to try it 2 weeks in a row and see if what we got. Almost what, 400 views almost from last week. So numbers are up.
Because I'm back.
We're back. We're back in
Definitely
Bush,
because of Tom.
right? We're back for a lot of different reasons. So hopefully I'll be back home tomorrow and time to sit down and relax because it's been it's been a ride this weekend. Let me just say, bronze medal tomorrow probably. Let's go bronze. Three, third place.
One question. One
Yep.
question. One question.
Yes.
Are you watching the Super Bowl?
Me?
He's going to be driving home.
I'm hoping with the snow and all the, we're predicted up here to get 5 inches again overnight. Okay, all you hear all night is the snow plows, and then you go out in the morning and it's like, did anybody plow? So if you ever want to live in Lake Placid, I wouldn't advise it if you don't like snow, because it just never plows. When it's not snowing, it's blowing off the roofs, it's blowing off buildings. There's icicles on top of icicles. Not my cup of tea. It's like hot up here. So supposed to hit whatever snow is back home. Like hopefully it's like 1 to 3. I'm not hoping for a lot. I'm not hoping for them calling off school. So when I get home, hopefully, what time does it start? 6?
6:30.
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be home by then. The game's at 8:30 in the AM, and then it's time after that to roll. So good
I
game.
just got a call from Shaggy. He just wanted to report in that his date night with the wife rated in at a 3.2. Go get him, Shaggy.
The same
Hurry up and get home so you can get the extra 5 inches.
well 3.2 is not the rating. 3.2 is what he maxed out at tonight. He said it was cold.
Now,
A
is that the rating or pumps? Yeah.
combination of both.
Our views just went down. We
No, kept it clean.
just
Kept
went
it
another algorithm.
clean.